Like most all objects, face jugs, which have been made in all cultures and places throughout history, tell a story. Many lookers believe that those produced in the American South reflect mainly African influences. It is popular to trace the pottery back to Edgefield, South Carolina in the mid-19th century, and to talk about how it was often made by slaves, like the famous Dave. But a South Carolina potter and historian, Elizabeth Ringus, begs to differ. Liz wrote me, "If jugs stored vinegar, cider, and other liquids, how clever it was for the potters to see a need to make jugs, especially for the menfolk to store their corn whiskey and hard cider. A mean-looking face on that jug really did scare the children." Liz goes on to say, writers tried to tie the face vessels in South Carolina as having African features, but if you look at the early examples, the vessels have thin lips to hold in the kaolin teeth and huge eyes, small noses too. They look like a skeleton face, like the skull and crossbones that mark containers with poison. Annie King, whose husband Terry has become famous for his contemporary face jugs, agrees. The likeness was done to scare kids away from poisons and old-timey white lightning, she says. Now it's a form of Southern folk art. The scholar Robert Ferris Thompson writes that South Carolina face jugs were also called monkey jugs, a term that can be linked to temperance images. While he believes that the monkey jug from 19th century South Carolina expresses black slaves' memories of their African and Caribbean roots, he notes that the word monkey in black society refers both to ceramic forms and to thirst and evil, since the debasing behavior induced by alcoholic spirits was seen to make a monkey of a man. So it's not unreasonable, then, to ask the question, are these face jugs, monkey jugs, meant to be containers for strong water? Michael Hall, the noted folk art collector, sculptor, and academic, has done extensive research on American face jugs and pitchers. He suggests that in the European iconographic tradition, the imagery in the jugs is familiar to all of us. We can recognize the fill and pour spouts as horns, and the goatees, heavy sideburns, and eyebrows as representing the hairy features of the devil. If this is the case, we might ask, why would potters suddenly begin producing these representations? And why would potters in the South and Midwest continue to create demon faces on their wares for the next 100 years? Some contend that the devil face jug is a recreation of a 300-year-old religious tradition first used by the slaves of North Carolina. According to this interpretation, the jug was placed on a new grave, and if it was broken or missing after 1 year, it was presumed that the soul of the deceased was wrestling with the devil. The uglier the face, the better the jug. Others, though, like Hall, link the jugs to the organized temperance movement. They say that the first face pots were found in New England and Pennsylvania in the early 1800s, just where and when temperance had its origins. By the 1830s, the movement gained strength in the South, especially in Virginia and the Carolinas. Is it just a coincidence that wherever the temperance movement went, where there were potters and potteries, face jugs were produced? By 1860, the satanic model for the face vessel begins to change, and the devil as a drunkard in the throes of delirium tremens, or Jim Jams, begins to appear. Eileen Smith, a black domestic living in Detroit, Michigan, was interviewed by Hall in the 1980s. Smith talks about her upbringing in Montgomery, Alabama. She says that her great-grandfather called the face pots Jimmy Jugs and warned her and other small children who might be around to leave them alone. As the temperance movement spread west and south throughout the 19th and early 20th centuries, potters were swept into late temperance activity in Illinois, Georgia, and Alabama. Some of the most stunning pottery, both in terms of symbology and aesthetics, came from Illinois. A jug from the Anna pottery in that state is literally crawling with frogs, snakes, beetles, and demonic beings, all suggesting the evil effects of liquor. The stopper takes the form of a monkey who pats his head and rubs his belly, mimicking a common test for sobriety. Temperance face vessels disappeared from the American scene by 1930. Work produced today is a provocative reminder of times past and contributes to the ongoing dialogue regarding origins and meanings. But our increased awareness of history should serve as a warning against our tendency to simplify and identify only one dominant influence. Face jugs made in the American South may well reflect a multitude of variables. Asian glazing processes, memories of African pottery and traditions, Native American effigies, European Toby pitchers, and American social movements. Or, as one renowned potter said, when asked why he had made a devil jug, "I just felt like the devil today."